flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In this town, there's no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
It is always game day in Cleveland. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. Obviously, a big-time edition of the show. And we are brought to you by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Miles Garrett saying, get me out of Cleveland. He put out a release today, and he says, I want out. You tell me, is this going to work? The Browns came back and said, our position hasn't changed. But he took a direct shot at Andrew Berry when he said, my dreams weren't to go from Cleveland to Canton, they were to win a Super Bowl. And, you know, Andrew had said that before, that they had planned on keeping Miles all the way through Canton. So where are we with this, Daryl? And what do you, just give me your initial thoughts before we get into where are we?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that the Browns want to maintain that they're not going to trade Miles Garrett, but they just may not have a choice. He could very well force their hand. To be fair about the situation, let's be honest about it. This is not the first trade demand made by a professional athlete. Trade demands don't always get fulfilled. Deebo Samuel's, I think, one of the more high profile, more recent ones. And he got paid to be happy, right?
Right.
But, two things stood out in that letter. One, he took, as you mentioned, a direct shot at Andrew Berry, and the comment that Berry has made going back to January 6th. He said it again to Mary Kay Cabot and Zach Jackson down at the Senior Bowl about, you know, the one-way ticket from Cleveland to Canton. And for him to say, quote, the goal was never to go from Cleveland to Canton. It has always been to compete and win a Super Bowl, end quote. That right there was a direct shot at Andrew Berry, and him basically saying, I don't trust the Cleveland Browns to be able to put me in a position to achieve that goal. This organization is incapable of doing it. And it's basically a repudiation of the Cleveland Browns. Let's be honest about it. Mm-hmm. That's what that letter was on Monday morning. Monday morning, by the way, of Super Bowl week that this comes out. So he basically hijacked the news cycle as Super Bowl week gets underway down in New Orleans with this news that he wants out of Cleveland. He has had it with the Cleveland Browns. This is a player that was drafted first overall in 2017. He has watched this franchise go from 0-16 to making the playoffs, being a couple of plays from the conference championship game, completely pissing off Baker Mayfield with the Deshaun Watson pursuit. The Deshaun Watson pursuit resulting in just all kinds of egg on the franchise's face when you talk about integrity and decency as a human being, right? How you conduct yourself and things like that. You lose that standing. And then Deshaun Watson basically isn't even available to play football for you for all three of his first seasons here in Cleveland. So, yeah, I completely understand where Myles Garrett is coming from. I'd want the hell out too. There's a reason I keep saying on this podcast and on the air that I don't trust this front office to get it right. And clearly Myles Garrett told everybody the same thing on Monday. He doesn't trust this organization to get it right.
All right. Let me ask you this, because, you know, we talked earlier today on the radio show with Jeff. And one thing that we really haven't talked about, and we talked a lot about with Deshaun, is dead cap money. Yeah. And what would happen if the Browns did trade him? What would that mean dead cap wise?
Yeah, I mean, they would take a hit, no question about it.
Like 36, 25 million, something like that. I thought I don't have the exact number.
For yeah, I'm looking it up.
It was right, multi-millions, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty, you know, significant. His cap hit this year is scheduled to be around 19.7 million. Next year's cap hit's around 20 million.
That's what
his dead cap hit this year would be $36.2 million.
Ooh.
So there would be a significant dead cap.
How do you get around that? There's no way around that, is there?
Well, let me explain why there's such a big dead cap hit, even though he has no more guarantees on his contract. It's because they added four voidable years onto the back of his contract with restructures to lower previous, you know, cap hits. And so how that goes is all those voidable years become an immediate cap charge when you move away or move on, I should say, from a player. So that's why that cap hit becomes so significant.
So let me ask you this. Could you restructure his contract before trading him to whoever?
Yeah. I mean, you could, but.
And then I'm sure that if you're another team on the other side, they'd be willing to, and we'll get into what you think the value is. But let's just say on the low end, his value is two first-round picks. I would think he's a defensive player of the year. Age is probably the only thing that would hinder you from maybe a third first-round draft pick. But, you know, I look at that value, and I'm trying to figure out how you do that. And then, so if you're a team on the other side that you're going to make the deal, you're going to want an extension before you actually make the deal, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, and, you know, obviously those are things you work out behind the scenes. You give Garrett's representation permission to go ahead and negotiate that. But I mean, this is not surprising. It wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when, from my perspective. Cause I mean, he you know, basically told you how he felt in December, right?
Jared, was this the big surprise though, at the end of the season? Remember, he goes, oh, there's some other things in store. And I think a lot of fans were like, oh, he's going to sign an extension. And
no, I think this was what was in store.
So he knew it, but he smiled his way through it when he said it.
Correct.
Which is kind of shady, isn't it?
Well, no. And then when I think the team politely asked him to shut up until the end of the season, he did. And that's why.
So do you think the Browns knew at that point that he was this is coming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He this was not a secret in that building that Myles was pissed. Not at all. Like, worst kept secret ever. And like I said,
so what was Andrew trying to accomplish then by just saying, well, you know, we want him here? I mean, he's not lying. They do want him here all the way through Canton. So,
well, they do. And they're going to, you know, they're going to offer him a ridiculous amount of money. But what Myles said in that letter was, this isn't about making the Hall of Fame. He's already a Hall of Famer, right? I mean, he's already accomplished that. It's going to happen. But you know, and I don't think it's about money either. Yes, money is a component. He wants to be paid his market value, but he wants to be paid his market value, and he wants to win Super Bowls. Like, that's
so. Do you think, is he willing to take less to go play somewhere else to win a Super Bowl? That's what you're saying. That's what he's saying. Hey, I'm willing to take less to go win a Super Bowl. That's what.
Well, I don't know if that's what he's saying, but he definitely wants to have his cake and eat it too.
We'll talk about, if you want to have integrity, that's your integrity, right?
Well, I mean, he wants to be paid market value. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which at the time he was, his last extension he was, right? It was a record deal at the time at 25 million. And I said at the time of that contract, I said in a couple of years, this contract is going to be a bargain. And right now at $25 million a year, yeah, he is a bargain. Yeah, I mean, he wants a pay raise this offseason. He wants to go somewhere where he has a chance to win. He told you that Cleveland's not it. Like, this should alarm Browns fans. This really should. This is the best player that this franchise has drafted in decades, right? Definitely the best player, with all due respect to Joe Thomas, best player they've drafted since 1999. And he has basically told you, I have no faith in the Cleveland Browns. I want to win, and the Browns have no chance of doing that.
What if Miles gets in the room with Jimmy Haslam and says, hey, like, I want to stay, but this ain't working. Andrew's got to go. I mean, he did take a huge shot at him. Do you think Jimmy would say, you know what? All right, Andrew's gone. You can stay?
No, I don't think that there's anything that's going to keep Miles in Cleveland right now. I think he's so pissed at how the last 5 years have gone. Because remember, like, this was a team when Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry took over. This was a team that was ready to win, right? And they did, in spite of COVID, in spite of all that stuff. They found, you know, they were able to win 11 games, and they were they ended up going into Pittsburgh, beating the hell out of the Steelers, going to Kansas City, and they were a player or two away from beating the Chiefs, right?
Right.
And, you know, and then they follow it up the next year with a disappointing season. The whole thing goes down with, you know, Baker and the trade request and all that, and the pursuit of Deshaun Watson. They get Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun's not available for the first 11 games of the year, right? So then you have to spend the 6 games he is available, quote unquote, knocking off the rust. And then, okay, so then he's going to come back and everything's good, right? And then Deshaun gets hurt and isn't available. And then they find Joe Flacco off the street, and Joe Flacco comes in and just lights the place on fire. Granted, yeah,
I would say it is the best atmosphere they've had in Berea since the team came back.
Right. And so then, you know, we start hearing whispers about Deshaun and challenges with the playbook and how Flacco picked it up so fast. And we heard, you know, I think it was Amari Cooper that used the term energy multiplier with Flacco and guys congregating around his life. Like, no one talks to Deshaun in the locker room. The guy is an outlier. I mean, it's plain as day. You can see it. And so, you know, then they, after making the playoffs, blow out the offense, right? They fire Alex Van Pelt, you know, Bill Callahan, who's arguably the best offensive line coach in the game, is like, well, the hell with this. I was going to stay, but now that I'm out of here, I'm going to go coach with my son.
Yeah.
And then the offense is a complete unmitigated disaster. Deshaun gets hurt again. By the way, nothing improved when Deshaun got hurt, right? Because that's all we kept hearing whispers about. It's the quarterback. It's the quarterback. Right. Mm-hmm. It's Deshaun. Well, Deshaun was gone, right? And then nothing.
But did they mail it in after that?
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Nothing improved after that. So you flush the scene. So Miles is sitting back watching all this crap unfold. He's like, I'm not wasting my time with this anymore. And I think Miles also told, and I mentioned this when I was on with you and Phelps as well, like, Miles Garrett basically told you the Cleveland Browns are not close to winning squat. That's what
that was the point that he made. Hang on to that thought, because I want to talk about that in a second. We got to take a quick time out. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. It's always game day in Cleveland.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's always game day in Cleveland. He's Darryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. We're brought to you by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. All right, Darryl, let's continue our conversation about Myles Garrett, who requested a trade just hours before we hopped on for this podcast today. And, you know, while you had said you thought the Browns have known about this for a while, I'm sure he knew about it for a while. I mean, it's no coincidence that release went out to a couple different media outlets at exactly 11 o'clock today.
Yeah, his representative sent that to Adam Schefter and the NFL Network reporters. And, you know, I think Deanna Rossini was on that email blast or text blast or whatever. Like, it was sent to everyone simultaneously.
And a lot of people had stories already written about it, so I'm pretty sure it was probably embargoed to a lot of reporters that knew that this was coming. I don't know that the Browns knew it was coming, though, today. Do you think?
I don't know if the Browns knew it was coming today. I mean, again, they're steadfast. We're not trading Miles, but.
So that is just posturing, right? Like, if other teams want to come back and say, hey, we'll offer you one first rounder for him, and they're like, no, we're not trading him. That's the end of it. No. But somebody comes in. And what, again, I just to clarify, you think his value is what?
At least 2 first round picks.
Plus. At least 2. Yeah, I agree with that. If not 3, why would you ask for 3?
And so what the next step's going to be? Let's say the Browns hold firm. Okay, let's say that they are really sincere and we're not trading Miles, right? And again, as I said earlier in the podcast, you know, trade demands don't always end up getting met.
David Njoku, right?
You know, trade demands can be, you know, end up in contract extension. Yeah, you mentioned David Njoku. That's a perfect example, right? He requested trade, I think, 2 or 3 times, right? And then, you know, they ended up extending him. But I think the next steps will be Miles doesn't show for the offseason program. He stays away. Then the step after that is he just doesn't show up for training camp. Okay? That's when things get ugly. And hopefully this doesn't get ugly. Hopefully, and this is the thing about Barry, and this is why I think they will trade him. Andrew Barry has a reputation of doing right by players. Odell Beckham Jr., right?
Right.
Remember what a complete bleep show that was. Daddy-O putting that video out on Instagram and taking shots at Baker Mayfield, right?
Right.
They were well within their rights just to, you know, suspend Odell for conduct detrimental. They you know, could have really stuck it to him, told him that you're not playing. You can come into the facility because legally under the NFL collective bargaining agreement, we have to make the facility available to you, but you're not seeing it. Like, they could have really stuck it to him. And what did Andrew Berry do? Reached a buyout with Odell so he could go try and win a Super Bowl ring, right? Which he did.
Right.
You know, Berry has a history of doing right by players. I do believe they're trading Myles Garrett. 100% going to trade Myles Garrett. It's posturing right now by the Browns, standing firm. We're not trading Miles because now you got to get the bids, right? phone's going to ring now off the hook with offers. So that's, you know, that from the Browns standpoint, that's their next steps. I don't feel like that Andrew Berry is going to try and hold Myles Garrett hostage in Cleveland. I really don't, because
no, and I, you know, we always talk about it with Mike Tomlin, but you want volunteers, you don't want hostages, and right. I agree with that. Yeah,
right. And like I said, there was no bigger bleep you, I'm out, than that letter that Myles Garrett wrote. Right. I mean, that's what that was, Andy. It was a bleep you, the organization.
But here's I'm going to ask you, if you're Andrew Berry, do you want to do right by him? Because he ripped you hard in that statement.
Yeah, you do.
If you're Andrew Berry, you're going to still do right by him?
Why? Yeah, you do.
And by the way, did the organization not stand by him with his Steelers incident and with the car flipping over incident? I mean, there's got to be a little bit of loyalty between both sides, even if this is coming to a divorce. There's got to be a little bit that goes back and forth here. I mean, they did right by him when the car flipped, right? Did they not?
There's loyalty in sports. Let's be honest about it. I mean, the.
But
the
you're saying you're laying out an argument about how Andrew Berry does these guys right.
Yeah. Well, I would argue that on the flip side, and you do look, you raised a couple of good points, but Myles Garrett has absolutely done the Browns right too, right? Franchise leader in sacks. I'll tell you, because I got his numbers right in front of me. Second most sacks in the NFL since he's been drafted in 2017, 102 and a half behind DJ Watts, 108. He's the youngest player to get 100 sacks in his career. First time to do it before his 29th birthday. This is a guy that's had 21 career games with multiple sacks. 29 career games with multiple sacks. Half sack counts as a multiple sack. He's a 6-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All Pro. He's a defensive player, the reigning defensive player of the year. He's won multiple defensive player of the year awards from the Sporting News. Pro Football Writers have voted him a defensive player of the year. He is a finalist for this year's award. So he has done right by the organization by performing on the field.
Sure, yes.
Yep. But I understand where you're coming from, but I don't see where Andrew Berry is.
I gotta be honest. The only thing I don't like was that the one line in the release. It's like the goal wasn't to go from Cleveland to Canton. I understand what you're saying. He didn't need to say that, and that was a complete. It was a complete rip on Andrew. That's all it was.
And so this is what I will tell you on that. And I understand where you're coming from. I'm 100%. That was a shot at Andrew Berry, right?
He could have said everything he wanted to today. That line was not classy. It wasn't.
Well, but here's the thing. He has watched Andrew Berry operate this organization for 5 years.
That's great. Just ask for a trade. You didn't need to.
My point is he has
childish.
You can call it childish all you want, but he has intimate knowledge of how that building works from top to bottom. And I can tell you, I can't say on this podcast some of the childish stuff that I know about that goes on in that building. Okay. But there is childish stuff that goes on in that building still. And
there's childish stuff that goes on in every professional sports organization.
I understand.
I don't care if it's squirts or peewees or the top of the NFL, top of the. I mean, there are buffoons in every organization.
Yeah. But, you know, he, I think, was trying to just drive home the point in his lack of belief in the organization. And that was his creative way of saying, yeah, Andrew Berry sucks as a GM. Like, and that's why I went out, because Andrew Berry is still the GM and I don't trust him to fix this. It's not going to get fixed under Andrew Berry. And so I'm going to take that is my way of firing the shot across the bow. And I get where you're coming from, right? Necessary for
him? Andrew, I'm sending him to Siberia. He might want to go play for a Super Bowl contender, but if someone else is going to give me, I mean, he's a year away from being in that position to say it. It's 2 years away, right? They still have his rights for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
I still think they're going to trade him, but I can't see how Myles Garrett's going to end up going to a team that is a contender,
because
that draft pick isn't going to be worth it for the Browns. It's going to be the end of the first round.
The phrase had double meanings. Like him using Berry's words against them had double meanings. One, it was absolutely a direct shot at Andrew Berry and saying, you effing suck at your job. That's number one. The second part, though, was, you know, I'm not focused on my personal accolades here. I really am trying to win a Super Bowl. And that dumbass, Andrew Berry, I'm being, you know,
You're trying to be him, right?
You know, isn't the guy to make it happen for me. Like, so I'm out. Like, with everything of mine, as much as I love Cleveland, as much as I love the fans in Northeast Ohio and all, right? That was the first graph. I love everything and am appreciative of everything. But the bottom line is money and the Hall of Fame and Defensive Player of the Year awards and this, that, and the other Pro Bowls, all that. Doesn't matter. The only thing that matters to me at this point in my career, I'm already a Hall of Famer. I've already been a multi-time All-Pro. I'm already a Defensive Player of the Year. I have accomplished on the field everything that I set out to do when I was drafted first overall, except one thing, and that's win a Super Bowl. Compete for and win a Super Bowl. That is not happening here. Andrew Berry is not the guy that's going to make that happen for me. I'm done. I'm out. I love you, Cleveland. I love you, Browns fans. You deserve better, but I am not Joe Thomasing my career here. I'm 29 in the sweet spot of my career. I want to go somewhere I can win. I can't fault him for it. I don't hate the way he wrote the letter. I completely understand where you're coming from with him. You know,
yeah, I don't have any problems with him. Yeah. My problem was the one line in the letter. All right, did Myles Garrett give the Browns a gift? Let's talk about that when we come back. It's always game day in Cleveland. It's always game day in Cleveland. Feels like it's a Myles Garrett edition. We are brought to you by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. All right, so I said it when we went to break. Did Myles Garrett actually hand the Browns a gift? I mean, he did make this announcement today. It is before the draft. It is before free agency. It gives the Browns time to not only figure out the dead cap issues, but to maybe perhaps have more time to negotiate. They don't have the pressure of it. It's not like he said it the day before the draft, right? And said, you better trade me today because it's draft day. He didn't do that.
Or the day before free agency.
Or the day before free agency, right. So you may have a team that's looking to draft in the top 10 that's like, we really need a defensive end. Oh, let's go grab Myles Garrett because we have the opportunity to do that right now, right, rather than drafting someone who's completely unproven in the NFL. So I do think that there are some things that Myles did here that helped out the organization, whether it was intended or not.
To your point, yeah. Now the Browns can go ahead and use the number two overall pick on whomever they want. They don't have to trade out now to get the draft capital because Myles could give them that draft capital that
right
can allow them to get the number one pick.
I mean, they already still have four picks in the top 103.
Right. So. Right. But you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
This now gives them another avenue. And let's be honest about it. For as great as Myles Garrett is as a player, right?
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't mattered when it comes to consistent winning. You know, they haven't been able to consistently win, even with him, you know, as
a defensive end is not a quarterback, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the end. I'm not, it's nothing against Myles. It's a quarterback can change the look at Washington. Yeah. Look what a quarterback did in Washington. I don't know that a defensive end does that.
Right.
Gives you the same results.
Exactly. And so the irony here, could Myles Garrett give the Browns what they need to find a franchise quarterback? The rub with that is are the Browns even capable of identifying said quarterback?
And I agree with that too.
And the answer to that has been no. They're 0 for 40. So it doesn't matter the GM. It doesn't matter anything. Like they suck at quarterback evaluation. They're incapable of finding that player. They've proven it time and time again. But to your point about opportunity, sure. It gives them opportunity to collect some additional draft capital without having to tank next season, right, to achieve
that. I mean, they could go from a really old team to a really young team right fast here. Let's just say they get two first rounds and a second, and say they get a first rounder this year and a second rounder. Now you're talking about six in the top 103. Right. You could have a really, really good team,
but you
really
want,
young.
I want the picks next year. That's my thing.
Well, I think it depends on the players that you want.
I know, but I don't necessarily need the picks this year. Like I said, they got four in the top 103.
Okay.
So you better hit on three of those players, right? Three of those players better be hits. And I'm calling you out, Andrew Berry. You better not F this up. I'm dead serious. Because if you do...
You remind me of Dana Carvey doing Joe Biden on Saturday Night Live. What? I'm dead serious.
But it's true, right? They've got to hit on three of those four players minimum, okay, to fill holes that they have on this roster. Next year, they need that draft capital so they can trade up and get the number one or the number two pick to get that young quarterback that they need, whether that's Arch Manning, whether that's someone else, right? I am betting on next year's quarterback class being infinitely better than what's available this year, right? Shador Sanders may be one of the best, might be the best or second best quarterback behind Cam Ward in this draft, but he's not Jaden Daniels, okay? There's no Jaden Daniels in this draft. That's what everyone's telling you.
Right.
So, and that's what I, that like, if I'm the Browns, I need Patrick Mahomes, I need Joe Burrow, I need a Josh Allen, I need a Jaden Daniels. Like, that's the player I need. I don't know that, and you can't sit there and wait 2 years for Shador Sanders to develop in that, or Cam Ward to develop into that, right? Mm-hmm. Just you can't do, you need someone that can step on the field and be a franchise changer. And I know that's like a lot to put on a rookie quarterback, but Patrick Mahomes did it, right? Joe Burrow did it.
Yep.
Josh Allen did it. Jaden Daniels did it, right? That's what the great ones do. And for me, I don't think the great one is in this draft. Maybe there may be a player, and I would bet the farm that there is one of these players in this draft is a franchise changer, but I don't think Andrew Berry has the first freaking clue how to identify it. That's the problem. They don't have a good front office, Andy. They have smart people in the front office, but they don't have a good front office. He has drafted and brought in guys that can't learn playbooks. He has brought in guys that have character problems and are unable to be available for games because of discipline with the league office. This is a guy that does not read or listen to scouting reports. He does not read or listen to red flags. That is a major, major.
Is that opinion problem. Or is that fact, Daryl? Is that opinion or is that fact? I'm just asking you. You're saying things that.
Yeah, it's a fact.
Okay. I mean, like, has anyone ever said, did you read scouting report A on the guy you just picked? You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to, I understand what you're they saying. I get your passion, but is that opinion or is that fact?
Picks and $230 million to a guy.
I understand that. I understand that, but you're generalizing everybody. Daryl, you're generalizing everybody. So I'm asking you.
A kid from Ohio State suspended right out of the gate because he got into an alleged violent domestic violence situation in training camp.
Okay.
Fact. You have guys on the team, including.
But you're saying that he didn't read his scouting report and didn't know that ahead of time. Daryl, I'm trying to clear you out on this.
If scouting report, then all Daryl, the scouts need to be fired too.
Here's what I'm saying. Lean into it and just say, okay, part of this is opinion. At least a good majority of what you're saying is opinion. Because you're actually saying.
People telling me in Columbus that the kid was a problem.
Telling you, and maybe he heard that, and he may have chosen just not to listen.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
That's my point. He doesn't listen to information that's out there. If I have information, he should have it. So, yes, I'm going to hold that against him, Andy.
Yeah, I'm not asking you for you hold it against him or hold it for him. What I'm saying is do you have direct fact or is this partial or complete opinion? That's what I'm asking.
Part of his opinion in that he shouldn't bring these people in. Okay. That's the opinion part. Okay. Deshaun Watson, off the field problems, fact.
Fact, yes.
Okay. The Browns have had players with off the field problems.
How much of that is him and how much of that is ownership? I mean, ultimately, ownership had to sign the check.
Oh, he's in charge of the 53. That's him.
Daryl, you don't think in any way, shape, or form, and I was going to ask this before and I didn't get a chance, that the organization isn't still feeling shell-shocked from the way Baker Mayfield left after the fact that Deshaun said he didn't want to come here and that Baker had said and did exactly what Miles did, correct?
Yeah.
Put out a statement and said, I'm not playing for you anymore. Trade me. Did we learn anything from Baker Mayfield?
No. And I know for also a fact that there are players in that locker room pissed that there have been guys brought in that have bad study habits, that don't know the playbook the way that they're supposed to know it. And so 3-14 is not really a surprise. So, like, and again, that's on the GM. You need to find this crap out. And if you find it out, you need to listen to it. And don't bring those guys in. Learning the playbook is football 101. And by the way, Well, multiple quarterbacks accused of not knowing the playbook. And I don't know if there's ever a dude on a damn team that needs to know the playbook. It's the effing quarterback.
How do you feel about this, Daryl?
Like, I mean, Barry should have been fired at the end of the season. I can't believe he kept his job.
Why? Why did he keep his job then? Why do you think he kept his job?
Sake of stability and continuity.
I think it's more than that. What is the number one reason?
He's good at his job?
No, I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying is he got a pass. Why did he get a pass? Why did he get a pass?
Deshaun.
100%.
But the problems with the team run deeper than Deshaun. That's the point. Like, and I think that's the point Miles made with the trade request. The problems here run deeper than one player. It is an organizational failure. That's the problem. And I'm not staying here for it anymore. Like, he told you all you need to know in that letter. He took a shot at the GM. He told you that the organization has no chance to compete for a Super Bowl, and that's why he wants out of here. Like, game, set, match. What else do you need to know? So, yeah, do I have some opinion? Sure. But there's a whole hell of a lot of fact behind that opinion.
All right, Daryl, let's end it with this. I want you to answer yes or no. Ready?
Yep.
Myles Garrett is still on the roster when free agency starts. Yes or no?
Yes.
Myles Garrett is still on the roster when the draft happens. Yes or no?
No.
Okay. So then that'll end my questioning, my line of questioning, because I was going to keep going. I was going to mandatory offseason camp, and that would be no. And everything moving forward is now.
Yeah.
No. But
as I said earlier, though, the next step for the Browns is to poker face it. We're not trading him to get the, and field the phone calls. And Miles' next step until he is traded is to just not show up for anything.
And we say, c'est la vie. Evan O'Brien is our amazing producer. He's Daryl Ryder. Thanks for joining us. This isn't a special. Is this a special edition? No, we were going to.
No, it's a regular edition.
Yeah, we were going to do a podcast today anyway. Although Evan did put out our to make sure that in case you missed it while you were on Baskin and Phelps, that's out there too. So, Evan, tip of the cap to you, my friend. Tip of the cap. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. It's always game day in Cleveland. Thanks for listening on the Odyssey app and watching us on YouTube. See you, Cleveland. See you.